If you didn't like the U.S. election results, I have more bad news for you. In just 13 months, on January 30th, 2006, to be exact, a vastly more important regime change takes place in America. On that day, Alan Greenspan, the legendary head of the Federal Reserve Board, will come to the end of his 14-year term as the world's premier central bank governor. This will be a truly world-changing event. Greenspan's retirement, he will be 80 by then, signals the end of a remarkable 25-year supervision of the global monetary system, conducted by two of the most able, most remarkable, and most controversial central bankers ever to dominate the whispered corridors of financial power. Greenspan and his predecessor Paul Volcker have been such dominant world figures that other chancellors and central bank chiefs for the past quarter century define their own careers by how they interacted with Volcker and Greenspan. If you don't think central banks make a difference in the world, just think back a bit. In 1979, the OPEC oil cartel jacked up world petroleum prices for a second time. Much world activity contracted sharply. The American economy went into stagflation. Business activity flatlined, and inflation soared to 13%, the highest point since the American Civil War. The stock market tanked to 800 on the Dow. History shows that President Jimmy Carter made a good choice when he put an extremely tall civil servant into the Fed. His name was Paul Volcker. And Volcker immediately jacked interest rates up to 20%, and that did not feel good for most Americans at the time. To say that Volcker constricted inflation back to manageable levels is like saying a python gives his prey a nice hug. But it worked. The inflation rate was down to 3.2% by 1983, and the economy was back to full employment shortly thereafter. From 1987 until now, Alan Greenspan has followed the same tactics of working gently against the cycles of boom and bust, through debt crises in Asia and Russia, the dot-com bubble, the Bill Clinton recession, and the 9/11 terrorist attack on Wall Street. What sets Volcker and Greenspan apart from other chancellors and central bankers is that while they are small C conservatives by nature, they were not driven by political partisanship, and they did not try to fine-tune the marketplace. Their twin goals were to achieve overall stability in the world and to constrict inflation at home. Inflation does make debts cheaper over the short run, but it ultimately is a regressive tax against the poorest of the poor because prices rise that much more on the basic necessities of food, clothing, and especially housing. So who will succeed Alan Greenspan? The front runner is a Harvard, Oxford-trained economist named Martin Feldstein. Feldstein believes, for example, that if you cut but not abolish taxes on investment gains, investors will realize their profits sooner and thereby pay more money in taxes than they would have at the present high rates. But Feldstein is a big C conservative. He was Ronald Reagan's chief economic advisor and the leading Bush campaign guru. He's bright enough. But is he impartial and tough enough? We have 13 months and counting to find out. This is James Schrodes for the BBC's World Business Report in Washington.